that we're using in this and other months as we close out this year are topics that we want to emphasize good things about and helpful things about, because they're topics that deal with our day-to-day life here and now and in the future. And such as the subject that we introduced this morning, and that is out of Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is praised for being our refuge and our strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. When we go through various troubles in life and difficulties in life, I mentioned this morning that there are some things that we will not have to be taken from us. For example, the respect that we have for the life that we live. That's not gone because we have a disease that's going to be ultimately fatal in our lives and we pass away from the disease that comes. It doesn't take away when somebody has a fatal accident and is suddenly taken away from this earthly life. The respectability of that person's life is in such a way, serving God and doing His righteous will, long to be remembered, much to be appreciated. Always the dash between the dates of birth and death are meaningful to anybody who comes by and who looks at that name and sees that the respectability that they had as they lived on this earth goes on and on with them. But there are a lot of other things that the Bible tells us goes on with a person's life as a result of having an influence for good in the world in which we live. For a moment now, though, let me go to the idea of disrespect. Suppose this individual has lived a life of debauchery, lived a life that has now come to the surface, that this person, after being gone, has lived a life that has been a clandestine ways of life. Darkness has been a part of this person's life, to the extent that family did not have an awareness of it. Or darkness had a way of life which people in the clubs did not have a knowledge of. What does that do to the dash between the birth and the death? The disrespect that was there has now arisen to tell people this person appeared to be a very respectable, a very helpful person. But this person was not that at all, it seems. The evidence that has now come to bear is of this person having lived a very sordid, unruly way of life. What kind of influence is that on his family or her family? What kind of influence is that on other people who come by and recognize that name and now have found out that the way that that person lived was not an honorable and respectful way of life? We want to then follow God's way. Bible teaches us regarding this matter that God develops a pathway for us to travel. And as they travel that pathway, we will find that He teaches us to be respected and respectful. He teaches us to follow that way of life that is held up in high honor and is honored even after we're gone. As a result, we're pleasing and acceptable to God. And He has said that He visits the good unto the third and fourth generations just as well as He visits the evil. And this may be an answer to how He visits the good, by the thing that does not die with the death of that individual. Respectability is there, regardless of the circumstances of the person's departure from this earthly life. But there are other things, as I mentioned. For example, the happiness by which that person lived. We'll know immediately whether that individual was a happy or a despondent individual. No matter the illness that's faced, no matter the particular death that has ensued, we know that happiness is something that's going on and on in a happy person's life. We miss that smile. We tell others about it. We miss the fact that this person lived a happy and good life. No doubt if living a happy life, they may have lived a life of service that brought a great deal of happiness to their lives. That service that was done in caring about others and in caring about circumstances of life to make things better. I trust that as this has that kind of care and concern, and the love that we have for those who serve in the disaster relief are prayed for because of their efforts. They are close to being the first responders to those places of need, and they're close to being in immediate danger, traveling down the roads that they travel and the opportunities that they give for people. But once that service act is done, once that service can be rendered, what a joy it is to read the reports and to see the callbacks and know that they are deeply appreciated and know that we were a part of helping them to be able to go. Just as much as we would support a preacher training school. This congregation, way before some of you were back here living and retired, was a congregation that supported us in the training school for better service. They recognized that we were training and helping men to preach and teach the gospel and do it in an effective way. Though they had not gone to a formal college or university, the fact of the matter remained that they could be trained in teaching the Word of God effectively to others. So we utilized those methods. My mom and dad saw that I had a gift, they thought, and they wanted to explore that gift virtually every night of the week. As we were home without the benefit of television set, without the benefit of other things to occupy our time, radio was turned off at a late time in the afternoon, and later on even when TV came in, there was news to be seen, and then there was a time to break from that. And that was preaching and teaching and discussion about the Bible on a nightly basis. That was a fun time. It was not a push and press time. It was represented to me as an orderly way of God would have us to grow this way. God would have us to be this. And what can we learn that will help us to be more in the service of God? When I got up to Fried Hardeman, Brother Dixon and Brother Gardner, Brother Dixon has now long since passed away, and Brother E. Claude Gardner just the other night saw our son Bobby, who was invited to come to the Henderson Church and do a Wednesday night summer series lesson that night. And he met him just as he was coming out of the early evening service. They have an early evening service at 5 o'clock, and they did have a 7 o'clock service later on in the night. But some of the older people, as Brother Gardner is now older, came to the early service for the daylight to be able to drive and travel back home. And he persuaded his grandson, however, upon seeing Bobby, talking to him and asking about his dad and asking about what he was doing there that night, everything, to persuade him to bring him back for the 7 o'clock service where Bobby was speaking. And that was a joyful thing. And no doubt he remembered the years in which they called my name one day there at Fried Hardeman. In the chapel service, at the end of it, there were always announcements about various ones, this club meeting and this person doing this, and meet over here in this corner for this, and sign this card up here, no thing. And from time to time, there was mention about somebody, and somebody would mention Robert Ross, would you please go to the president's office after chapel today? Well, obviously, your friends around you are looking at you and looking and saying, what did you do? And I had done enough things up that way, but long way. What did you do? And I didn't know what it was that I did that time. And so after that program, I went to the office to meet with Brother Gardner as well as Brother Dixon, who was president of the school. And they thought they saw the same gift my mom and dad saw. And they wanted to invite me to go on to Western Kentucky State University and get my degree there to come back and train preachers here at Fried Hardeman. And that was a real, real invitation. And I enjoyed the idea of the fact of businesses that brethren have supported schools like Fried Hardeman, supported schools like Memphis School of Preaching, supported schools like East Tennessee School of Preaching and Missions, supported schools like Faulkner. And the ideas were to help them to prepare men who would come back and preach at congregations that, like you and I know, and we've had them here from various places through the years. And how we appreciate the training and teaching to be done. I called my mom and dad to talk about it, decided I'd carry my promise out to be a preacher in Mississippi and to come back to Mississippi. But I met up with Miss Jane, and Miss Jane's dad saw that he thought was the gift too, and he had an idea of a school. He had an idea of a school that would help men that would not have the time or the money to go to a formal college, a formal university, and study preaching techniques and so forth, but they would study with us and to offer them the opportunity to study these things. And he said, I know about the Bible side of the coin. You know how to train them to speak. And he said, I want you to do this. And so our notes go back to about the time Miss Jane and I began to be serious about getting married, somewhere around 1966-67. There we were, making those plans for the school. The formalizing of it did not occur until we noted about 1970. But we appreciate the fact that you support this particular cause and ideals. There are dollars and cents for extra Bibles. In that day and time, no copier machines were available for us, and we had extra copies of the same book. When we said turn to page 68, it was page 68 on each one of the books, you see, that they were using. And as a result, they could study that and discuss that and go into question forms about how to understand it and how to help others to understand it better. And all that was a part of the great, great work going on. I was glad that a couple weeks ago, Brother Cox was here and said 1988. I remembered it was somewhere about that time. If I looked at my notes, I would have seen it 88, but even I was surprised it was that long ago when he was a part of the studies. And he got to use it right off the bat and going to Addison, Illinois by his company and working with the congregation up there while he was doing his public work. The fact that we help somebody and help them go is a good thing and a godly thing, and happiness from service comes back to us. And we enjoy the fact we're part of this and a part of this great work. What a good thing it is. But there are more things about somebody's life. The wisdom by which a person lived. We know whether they were always getting off in the ditch somewhere. Always having flat tires sometime. Not being wise enough to check their oil in the vehicle. And they burn up a motor. We know the difference between someone who had it available to them and used it and could use it, and others could ride with them safely and so forth. They were people of wisdom. And God asked us through James in regard to this matter, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In James 1, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. How the idea of it is that God cares about us, asking prayerfully for wisdom. Ask in faith, he said, though nothing wavering. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. In the Lord God of heaven, Psalm 46:1, being a refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. We see that in this way of living, according to his principles, we leave a legacy of wisdom. We have lived by and are honored by and help others by as we live on this earth. It does not die when we die. It does not leave this earth when we're sick. It is something that does continue on and on. Take into consideration the common sense of an individual. There are people who have common sense. They recognize a problem might be ahead. They slow their pace down if they're driving on an automobile and driving on the road. Or they slow their decision-making down to jump over into something because they take the idea of common sense being trust a little bit before you trust a lot. You know, you go to a paint store and they ask you about the color of paint that you want. And you say, well, I think I want this particular color of paint. And they say, well, let me tell you what. Take a little bit of this and go over to a corner that you're going to be less observing. Maybe a corner that's right behind a curtain right there. And paint that just a little bit. Put a little square of paint right there. And let it dry. And come back and take a look at it in the daylight. And see if it is the color you really want. They're in their wisdom selling us a product. Not just selling a product. Not just getting us to buy paint. But they're wanting to help us to be happy with what we are fixing to purchase. We may think the color is this, we may want it to be this, but it may not be at all what we're thinking about it. Unless we see it for what it really is in that room, the color that we really wanted. We appreciate that man. We'll tell others about him. We'll go back there when we get our paint at other times. Because that individual was wise in their pursuit of selling that. They didn't want to just make a sale. They were wise in helping us to make the right decision. decision or a better decision than we would have made by ourselves. Common sense, a part of our life, doesn't die as we die. It doesn't go as we're sick and dying. It doesn't go after we're gone. We'll be known by our common sense if we are common sense people in God's way. What Jesus said about that common sense? He said, what man building a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish that which he's begun, lest others mockingly come by and say, behold, this man began to build and could not finish. He didn't have the wisdom to realize that in a battle, he had only 10,000 going against 20,000 or 30,000 or 40,000, that he didn't have enough to finish the battle. He, in his foolishness, not wisdom, was defeated. And his representative was one who was defeated as a result of not using common sense. Jesus urged us to follow that way. What about peace of mind? Does that die when the person dies? Does the remembrance that you and I have about them having a peaceful way of life, a peaceful mind about things? They could sleep at night. They cared about the fellow man. They could rest, however. They had peace within. So many of our friends and neighbors round about us find themselves in a terrible way, and as a result, missing out because of the lack of a peace of mind. Think about the patience that an individual has in life. Patience is not stopped by way of a person being ill. It may be shown that a person is more anxious than should have been, but the idea is to be patient in reality that when that time comes and those opportunities to be impatient are presented, we find ourselves being patient and trusting in God in the things that we pursue in life. That matches up to the things that we recognize as hope. Is hope lost because a person has an illness that is going to overtake them? No, hope maintains itself. Hope gives us hope in the sense of not seeing something, but hoping for it. And we're saved by that hope, Romans 8:24. That kind of hope that we don't see exactly what it is, but we do find ourselves looking for that hope that we have been taught. Finally, think about the influence of that individual's life. Is the influence gone because the person has passed away? Or are we honored today and carry out things like Claire Barton in the nursing work that she did was carried out even now? Are we individuals who find ourselves influencing for good and helpfulness and for love of truth? When the wise man said, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and understanding. Buy these things, sell them not. Because if we go on in life and we find ourselves not influenced by truth and righteousness, look what we are influenced by. Falsehoods and mannerisms like that. And the things that destroy and hurt and harm individuals' lives, families, communities, and nations. Think about the things that lack of health or death do not take from us. These ways of life that we can pursue are ways that are honorable and good. Let's not give up on them. Let's not have someone say about our lives, well, this person was respectful until they were older and they became very disrespectful. This person was happy until this age took place, and I don't know what happened. That became the most unhappy individual. This person was operating their lives. They did business by way of wisdom, and they were so wise in what they did and how they helped people, and the service that they offered brought them so much happiness until they got to be this age and time, and we rarely ever saw them again. We rarely ever heard of them again. And we don't know what took place in their lives. They became so unhappy. A group of folks. This person had peace of mind. Looked like in the church, the way that they served and everything, they were talking about. about it in a good way in a Bible class, and they were talking about it all the time until they got to be this age and this circumstance happened in their lives. And then they became very belligerent. They were not peaceful people at all. They were not that way anymore. Think about the patience that the person had until the children came along and until circumstances brought about this great anger in their lives. Think about the hope that they had by which they were teaching others and showing others the gospel and giving them that same hope. And then they never taught anybody anymore. They stopped altogether. For whatever reasons, they were discouraged. They felt like that it was useless for them to do anything more. And they ceased having that hope. Let me ask you as a close. What kind of influence is the opposite of God's pathway? God's pathway is a pathway of righteousness and hope for the soul. It's a way by which we are instructed to see Him as our present help in a time of trouble. I hope this topic has been a rewarding topic, and I hope it will be for those who hear these particular lessons by way of our internet site. There are hundreds and thousands of people who come there every month. And I hope that they will be encouraged by way of this message and the previous one in regard to the topic of God is our refuge. He wants us to honor truth. And in honoring truth, we need to go to the New Testament of our Bible and see how people were saved from sin. Today, Brother B.J. Clark was asked by Brother Hickson, what would you tell people in regard to what they should do first? And he said immediately a wonderful reply. I'd go to the examples of people who wanted to be saved. I'd go to the examples of people who wanted to worship God like they should. I would go to those verses in the New Testament Bible and talk about these people asking about salvation, what they were told to do. And when we're told to do it, in Acts chapter 2, for example, in repentance and baptism into Christ, they receive remission of their sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. In their honoring the Lord in the Lord's Supper in His right way, they were doing the right thing